Well, this morning we are in week three of our latest series titled Transformed. It's a series that we're walking through seven key areas of our lives that we really believe God wants to transform in each of us. We started off 2 weeks ago and we talked about being transformed in our spiritual health. And then last week we talked about being transformed in our physical health. And so then this week, we're going to talk about being transformed in our mental health. Now, my wife's convinced that there's not much hope for me in this area, okay? But thankfully, we serve a God of miracles. And if God can transform my mental state, He can transform any of your mental states this morning, all right? So we're going to talk about how God wants to transform our minds, how He wants to change our minds. Our theme verse for this series is Romans 12:2, and this is what it says. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, what I just read to you is out of the NIV, which is what I use most of the time. Okay, that's what I usually preach out of, what I read out of is the NIV. But I want to read it to you this morning from the New Living Translation. And I think we might have already put that up there on the board. It says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Changing the way you think. I'm going to sum up for you right now. We could actually just finish right after this. But let me sum up for you this morning in one sentence what I want to talk about. And it's this. You see, God is far more interested in changing our mind than He is in changing our circumstances. Okay? Now, we want Him to change our circumstances, right? If we're honest, that's what we desire. We want Him to take away all the problems. We want Him to take away all the pain, to take away all the sorrow, to take away all the suffering, all the sickness, all the you fill in the blank, okay? We want Him to take all that away, but God says this, what's happening in us, inside us, is more important to Him than what's happening around us. He's far more interested in changing our minds than He is in changing the circumstances that surround us. And it's because true transformation will only happen in our lives when our mindset is changed, when our thoughts are changed, when we can get rid of the old and put on the new. You see, God's desire is for us to learn to manage our thoughts, right? Manage our thoughts, manage our minds. You know, we referenced this back in the old days in our youth group, you know, putting a filter. We had some people that didn't have a filter up here, okay? They didn't manage their thoughts. They didn't manage their minds. Now, why is it so important that we learn to manage our thoughts? Well, it's because our thoughts tell us a lot about our mental health. And managing our thoughts will actually help us be mentally healthy. So I want to start this morning by giving you three reasons that we need to manage our thoughts. Three reasons we need to manage our thoughts. The first reason is this. Because our thoughts, they ultimately control our lives. You see, every single action begins with a thought, right? If you don't think it, then you're not going to do it. It starts with a thought. Therefore, our thoughts can ultimately control our lives. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life." Now you say, I didn't hear anything about your minds in there. And it's interesting because some versions say heart, other versions reference the thoughts. And so I did a little study and I kind of looked this up. The Greek word used in this scripture for heart is the word L-E-B, pronounced lev. All right, I just impressed you, but I really had to listen for about 40 times to how it's pronounced. I'm like, lev, lev, I'm like, what are they saying? Is that a B sound? Is that a V sound? So anyways, you know, Google will help you figure anything out. But it's pronounced lev, and its definition is it's referencing the inner person or the mind, one's thinking. And so today's English version actually translates it this way, and I think we have it to go up on the screen. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. You see, it's important that we manage our thoughts because our lives can ultimately are ultimately shaped by what we think, by what goes through these brains of ours, right? And that's scary for some of us. The power of our minds, the power of our thoughts has a tremendous ability to shape our life for good or for bad. Let me give you an example. Think about this. If someone from an early age is told when they're young that they're worthless, that they're no good, that they're ugly, that they don't matter, and they begin to accept these things as true, even though they're not, then their lives are going to be shaped by those very thoughts, right? You see, our lives are shaped by what we believe, whether what we believe is true or isn't true. Our mind is shaped by those thoughts. That's why it's so important that we manage our thoughts, because our thoughts can ultimately control our lives. The second reason that we need to manage our thoughts is because the mind is a battleground for sin. The mind is a battleground for sin. Up here is where we win or lose the battle for sin. It's in our minds. As a matter of fact, all temptation happens in the mind. Now, you know, oftentimes we think, well, temptation is something out there, right? Something lurking around the corner. Look out. You know, don't come around that corner. Temptation might jump out. And we think of it as out there. But here's the thing. The things we see and come across out there, wherever there is, those things wouldn't tempt us if there wasn't a sinful desire already in our minds, already up here. All temptation happens in our minds. It's because of things that we've let in to begin with. And as a result, all sin starts in our minds. Now, we talk about things like pride. We talk about things like lust, bitterness, hatred, you know, fear, anger, resentment, worry, you fill in the blank. All those things, they start up here in our minds. So we have to learn how to manage our minds. And if we can learn to manage our minds, then we've conquered the first step in managing our lives. You see, our mind, as I said, is a battleground. Romans 7, 22 through 24, Paul describes this battle for us that rages on in our minds. Listen to this. You can follow along. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation here. I like the way it's worded. It says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? I think all of us can identify here with this battle that Paul's talking about that's going on in the mind. We want to do one thing. We love God. We want to serve Him. But yet then the things of the world are attractive. And we think, they're not that bad, are they? Right? And there's this battle that goes on within our mind. Listen to some of the words that we saw in this scripture here. There were words like war, words like fight, slave, dominated. These are some powerful words. All these things are taking place in our minds. It's one of the reasons why we get mentally fatigued at times. Because the battle that's going on, that we're fighting really 24/7 with our thought life. And sometimes we're conscious of that battle, but sometimes we're not. But the fact is, it's going on. And whatever thoughts win are the thoughts that end up, what, controlling our lives. We need to manage our thoughts because our thoughts control our lives. We need to manage our thoughts because our mind is a battleground for sin and temptation. And thirdly, we need to manage our thoughts because it's the key to life and peace. If we can truly grasp what we're talking about this morning, if we can truly apply it to our lives, then I can pretty much guarantee you, you will experience more peace in your life. If we can manage the thoughts. You see, an unmanaged mind leads to what? Sin and stress. While a managed mind leads to life and peace. An unmanaged mind leads to tension and pressure. While a managed mind leads to life and peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict and chaos. While a managed mind, mind leads to what? Life and peace. Are we getting the picture here? A managed mind brings life and peace for all of us. Romans 8:6 says it this way. It says, the mind of a sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. If we want to truly experience life and peace, then we have to manage our thoughts. We have to control what goes on inside this brain of ours. So the big question is, okay, that sounds great. How do we do it, right? Well, I've given you three reasons why we need to manage our thoughts. And I want to finish by giving you three reasons that we must do to manage our thoughts. The first thing that I think we must do to manage our thoughts is we must feed our minds with truth. If you remember earlier, I said our lives are shaped by what we believe, right? Whether what we believe is true or isn't true. So if we want to be able to manage our thoughts in a way that brings life, not death, then we need to know the truth. And the truth is what the truth is found in His Word. That's why it's so important that we open up His Word, that we read His Word, because it's filled with the truths of God. We need to know the truth, and it's found in His Word. This book was given to us so that we could know His truth. So we could fill our minds with His truth. John 8:31 and 32 says this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. His Word gives us the truth. And if we know the truth, His truth will make us free. We'll know what thoughts bring life. And we'll know what thoughts bring death. And knowing the truth will help us with the second thing that we need to do to manage our thoughts, which is that we must get rid of the bad thoughts. We have to free our minds of any thoughts that are destructive, any thoughts that aren't of the Lord, that pull us away from Him, any thoughts that lead us down the road to sin and to death. Now, I'll be honest with you. This isn't easy, right? Anyone else agree with me? Am I the only one that has trouble sometimes controlling my thoughts? This isn't easy. You know, like we said, there's a battle that's happening in our minds. There's a battle that's going on. And there are many things we face and deal with in our minds that put up a pretty good fight, don't they? You know, when we're trying to get rid of them, they scratch and they claw their way back in time and time again. They don't just leave easily. These are often those things that keep us from fulfilling all of our good intentions, right? You know those good intentions. You know, those intentions to change this, those intentions to change that, right? These thoughts keep us from following through at times. And those changes don't happen, those intentions don't happen because of these destructive thoughts that we're battling in our minds and we continue to give into. Thoughts that don't go without a fight. And let me just give you an example here. One of them is something that we often refer to as our old nature. Okay? It's all those old habits that we bought into believing because we haven't filled our mind with the truth. Now, it could be before we were a Christian, you know, before we knew the truth. But even sometimes after we come to know the Lord, we haven't taken the time to really fill our minds with the truth. And so we allow our mind to be filled with things that aren't good, things that aren't true. These are those things that, you know, they feel so good to begin with, right? Well, this can't be wrong, right? They feel so good to begin with, but what do? They continue to leave us empty. And for some reason, we keep going back to them, right? We keep thinking that maybe this time it'll be different, right? Well, maybe this time it'll be different. I don't know if any of you have kids, if you've ever seen the Bee Movie, okay? Having kids growing up, the Bee Movie, one of my scenes I remember from that movie more than any other scene is a scene where the little bee got trapped in the house and he's trying to go outside. Well, he's never been in a house before and he doesn't know what glass is, okay? So he's trying to fly out through the glass and he's like, hits it and falls and he's like, maybe this time, maybe this time. Maybe this time, and he keeps doing it as if something different is going to happen. He keeps doing the same thing, hoping something will change. But you know what that is, right? It's insanity. We've heard that definition. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We have to realize all this old nature is doing is leading us down a path of destruction. And so we need to manage those thoughts so that we don't continue to go down those same paths. We need to get rid of these destructive thoughts in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is one of the scriptures. If you remember anything today, grab hold of this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The last part of that verse is what I want us to focus on. It says we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means when thoughts come into our mind, we have to grab hold of those thoughts and we have to line them up with the Word of God. We have to line them up with what's true. And then we have to walk in obedience to what Christ says. If Christ says this isn't a good thing, then what do we need to do? We need to get rid of it. We need to take it captive and get rid of it. If it's a good thought, then we can act on it. For example, if a thought pops in your mind as you're walking down the street, right? You see a lady drop her groceries. The thought comes in your mind, maybe I should help her with her groceries, right? Now we weigh that against the Word of God. What does it say? Oh, don't help people? No, God's Word talks about loving and caring and helping those around us, right? So it's like, yes, I should go help that person. And we get down and we help that lady with her groceries, right? That thought comes in. We think about it. It's a good thing. We respond to it. But if it's a bad thought or a destructive thought, then we need to get rid of it. And let me give you an example, right? If we're in a store and we see something we like, we're like, I don't really have the money for that, but no one's around. And the thought pops, you can just put it in your pocket. It doesn't matter, right? Now, is that a line? We take that thought, we line up with the Word of God. Well, does the Word of God say it's okay to steal? No, it's one of the commandments. Do not, thou shalt not, okay? Back in the old days, the way it said, thou shalt not steal, right? If we line it up with the truth, no. It's those thoughts are the thoughts we have to get rid of. Now, the thing is, we have to realize that there are all kinds of thoughts that are bad and destructive that we need to get rid of. Because it's not just the things like, should I steal, you know, should I whatever, do drugs, you know, should I look at porn? I mean, those are the big ones. And yes, when those pop in your head and those thoughts, the answer is no, get rid of those destructive thoughts. But oftentimes the bad thoughts can be, or some of the most destructive thoughts can be the thoughts even that we just have about ourselves, right? When we believe that we're ugly, we believe that we're useless, we believe that I can't do anything. Right? And we begin to believe those things and think those things about ourselves. Or even the opposite. You're like, I don't have that problem. I'm pretty stinking good, right? You know? And it's the opposite too. You know, if we believe we're better than others, if we believe we deserve this, well then we better think about those thoughts ourselves, right? Because God says, you don't deserve anything, right? Anything you have is because of what I've done for you. All those thoughts can be destructive, and we have to get rid of them. So regardless of what destructive thoughts or lies are swirling around in our heads, we have to get rid of those destructive thoughts. We have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and get them out of our heads. We got to feed our minds with the truth so we can identify those thoughts that are bad, those thoughts that aren't of the Lord. And the third thing we need to do to manage our thoughts is we have to focus our mind on good things. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, like I said earlier, getting rid of the bad things, it's not always an easy thing. Just to say, I'm not going to think those thoughts anymore, isn't easy. You know, let's try a little experiment this morning. Let's say for experimental purposes that a pink elephant is a bad thought, okay? Now, I want you to think about anything. You can think about anything but a pink elephant, okay? Whatever you do, do not think of a pink elephant. Now, how is that working for you? Right? You're like, get out, get out, get out. All you can think about is a pink elephant, right? You see, just trying to tell ourselves not to think of something oftentimes just makes us think of it more, right? Don't do it, Darren. You're not going to. Don't do it, Darren. Don't do it, Darren. Don't do it, Darren. Don't do it. No, don't do it. You know, and you, what do? You want to do it, right? If we want to get that thought or those thoughts out of our heads, we have to replace those thoughts with other thoughts. You see, if we want to get rid of the bad thoughts, then we need to fill our mind with good thoughts. We have to focus our mind on good things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think on such things. When we're going through times where we're struggling with thoughts in our mind, we need to fill our minds with the things of the Lord. We need to fill our minds with Scripture. If you're struggling, open up God's Word. Read His Word. Quote the Scriptures that you know. You may not know any, but if it's just John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only..." You know, if God can do this for me, I can do this for you. We need to begin to fill our minds with worship, with God, so that we can flush out the bad thoughts. You see, we live in a fallen world, and it's so easy for us to fill our minds with garbage. And so we have to be intentional. We have to be intentionable. Intentional. We have to be intentional, not intentionable like I started to say. We have to be intentional about filling our minds with things of the Lord. Now, I told you I had to run downstairs, so I'm not quite set up as well as I wanted to be set up this morning because I had different things I was going to bring, but I found what we had in our kitchen downstairs. But I want to do a little illustration. I did this illustration probably about 2.5 years ago when we first started the church, and I thought, well, there's a lot of people that aren't here, or they're here that weren't here 2.5 years ago, so I'm going to do it. But this is a picture of our minds, okay? This jar right here represents the bad. Okay? And we have these bad thoughts in our mind, and it's like, no, I want to get rid of those bad thoughts. But what do we have to do to get rid of those bad thoughts? We have to put in good things. And so this represents God, this big giant picture right here, okay? The things of God, the things of His Word. And so when we have bad thoughts, when we have things in our mind that we just can't get rid of, we need to fill it with the things of the Lord. I'm going to see if I can do this without having to hold on to it. But we begin to fill it with the things of the Lord. Now, here's a lot of times what we do. We try to add the things of the Lord with the things of the world. And what does it do? It just kind of, yeah, it's not as dark as it was, but it just dilutes the things of God, right? The things of the Lord in us. We have to continue to fill ourselves with the things of Him. And as we continue to fill ourselves with the things of Him, if I can get to this before I overflow this bowl at the bottom, we'll be all right. But as we continue to fill our lives with the things of Him, we see more and more of the bad being flushed out and more of the good inside us. This is God's desire for our lives, that we get rid of the bad and that we're filled with His goodness. If we can feed our minds with truth, if we can get rid of the bad thoughts, if we can focus on the good things, then we will have control over our lives, or God will have control over our lives, right? We will then begin to win those battles against sin, and we will be able to experience life and peace, and we'll experience transformation in our mental health in the way that God desires from each and every one of us. It's about filling our lives, filling our minds with the things of Him and getting rid of the things of the world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for just Your love for us, Lord. The fact that You desire, Lord, for us to walk in righteousness. And You desire that so much that You made a way for that to happen, that You came and that You died on a cross for all of our sins, to take away the sin of this world, to be able to walk in righteousness, to be able to fill our minds and thoughts with the things of You, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to learn how to do this. Lord, as we talk about being transformed in every area of our life, we want to be transformed spiritually, Lord, in our spiritual walk in life with You. We want to be transformed physically, Lord, in our health and in our bodies. Lord, we want to be healthy and strong that we can do the things that You've called us to do, Lord. And we want to be transformed mentally, Lord, so we can be at that place where we're honoring You with all of our life, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that You would continue to transform us, Lord, from the inside out, from the renewing of our minds, by changing our minds, Lord, from the things of this world, from the old nature, from the old self, to the things of You, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we give You this word. We pray that You allow it to speak to each of us where we're at. Lord, wherever we're at in this journey of our mental health, Lord, wherever we need transformation, may You come and speak to us and challenge us to grow in these things, Lord. We thank You for this word, Lord, just to allow it to penetrate our hearts. Allow us to go out of this place today and not to forget what was said, but to remember and to work at being better and growing in You in every aspect and in every way of our lives, Lord. We thank You and we praise You for these things. We just give them to You. Be with us as we go from here, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that as we leave this place, we're going out into a mission field, Lord. Every day we are called to be the church, Lord. We are called to be Your disciples who let our light shine bright in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, Lord, wherever we go, in the grocery stores, at the gas station, Lord, to see those times as opportunities to just be a light that shines bright for You, Lord. We thank You for these things. We just give You this day, and we truly desire to surrender to You in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.